How do we continue as a Christian? You see, being a Christian is not always easy. It's quite difficult, in fact, sometimes. The many things that happen. And I'm not just talking from a persecution point of view. So being overlooked because of promotion or because you're a Christian for promotions or being attacked or laughed at or so on. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about how do we know who says and what they say is right. There are so many voices out there today, out there in the world, and so many voices that in fact we hear them from all different sides and we get confused by them. Who is right and who is wrong? I've spoken to a number of people about Christianity in the past and recently, and some of the responses that I get was, oh, well, that's cool, good for you, but everyone can believe and what they want to believe. You know, it is a free world after all. As long as you believe what you believe, then you are right. And that's the response of many folk in the world. How do we continue as a Christian then? How do we remain true as a Christian with so many people telling us all sorts of different things? How do I ensure that as I go through life, I will receive eternal life when it's becoming harder and harder to know the truth from the lie? Well, that's what I think John goes on to speak about this morning in this letter that John is writing to a group of Christians in Asia Minor, as he's been encouraging us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's been encouraging us to live for Christ. John now gives us some advice on how to determine who is speaking the truth and who isn't. So, just 2 points this morning, and I want us to have a look at firstly, how do we identify the many voices of the world? Have a look with me at John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, from verse 18. And look with me there in your Bibles. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Now, the last hour that John is talking about here is not the final few moments of this world before the Lord returns. I want to suggest that the last hour is, in fact, the time between the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead until he returns again to judge the world. In other words, John is writing in the last hour. We are living in the last hour. And John says, how do I know that that is what John is saying? Well, he says, even now, many antichrists have come. That is how we know we are in the last hour. So we are dealing with the time between Christ and his second coming, between his first and second comings, and what's going on. John is almost alluding to the fact that there will be many voices out there, some who are true, but many that are not. John calls those people that bring false truths antichrists. You'll even notice here, where's it, a few verses down, in verse 22, where he says, such a man, the person that denies Jesus Christ, is the antichrist. So we're not talking about one specific person. We're not talking about one nation. We are talking about people here, defined by John as the Antichrist, who deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about a period that is relevant to us and about people that say things that are not right. John tells us that the difficulty is often the fact that many of these Antichrists, these people that deny Jesus, actually come from within our own ranks. Look at verse 19 where John says, they, the Antichrists, went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Can you see what the difficulty is here? Many people claim to be Christians. Many people claim to have had this or vision or that or some other thing from Christ, from God. And they break away and they start their own church, having missed the truth. And the difficulty for us is, they seem to veil everything in Christian language. And so they'll say this, look, the Bible says this, the Bible is speaking about that. And they veil their message in Christian truths. But as John says, actually they've left us. They are no longer part of us. And I think that's part of the reason why it is so difficult for us as Christians to determine who's speaking the truth and who isn't. In fact, many of the large cults and religious groups that we have in our world today claim to have Christian roots. Many of the preachers on the, what's that, TV channel, TBN, claim to have Christian roots. Yet many of them, both religions and some of these preachers, not all of them, but some of them, have left the true church and speak something that the Bible does not speak about. John says that if they were true teachers of the Bible, they would not have left the church and begun their own things. You know, the Muslim will tell you that they and us as Christians actually believe the same things. They tell you that we both received the message from Moses. We both serve the same God. In fact, they will tell you, we believe in Jesus too. Although they don't believe in Jesus as the final authority. Buddhism, same thing. They claim to have roots in Christianity. And much of what they believe is taken from the Bible and put into their own religious books. It's no wonder that people on the street will tell us, perhaps even some of you sitting here this morning, will say, well, that's fine, believe what you want, for all religions lead to God anyway. Well, John denies that. John throws out in verse 22, who is the liar? In other words, how can we tell who is telling the truth and who is not? How do we know when we watch TBN on satellite which of those preachers is preaching the truth and which of them is not? How do we know which religions are speaking the truth and which are not? John continues, who is the liar? Verse 22. John says, and he answers his own question here, it is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, John continues. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Can you see what the crux of the matter is? What is it that determines the truth from the lie? The real speaker of the gospel from the Antichrist? Can you see what John is saying here? It is the one that either stands up for Christ or the one who denies Christ. The true Christian will speak about Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for them. The false teacher, or the Antichrist as John puts it, is the one who denies Jesus. Now let me just chat briefly about this denial of Jesus, because it can be taken up in many ways. Some people deny Jesus by saying, I do not want to know about this man, I'm not interested in him, and they deny him outright. I think we would generally understand that would not get you eternal life. But what about those that say, yes, we believe in Jesus, but they either deny some of the things that Jesus has done, and so don't believe him fully, or they add to what Jesus has said and demand other things that Jesus doesn't demand from us. Is that also not denying who Jesus is? You see, Jesus is the crux of the matter. Do we preach the gospel? Do we speak about following the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we speak about, well, yeah, accept Jesus, but you need to have this and this and that before you become a true Christian? So why does it matter whether we believe in Jesus or not? Well, again, John in verse 23, he says, no one who denies the Son has the Father, but whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. The simple fact of the matter is, if we deny the work and person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in fact denying God himself. We cannot go and be with God unless we go through his Son. So the Muslim might have a very similar background and history to us, even similar ancestors. They also talk about Moses and Jacob and Abraham and guys like that. But they deny that Jesus is who Jesus claims to be, the Son of God, fully God and fully man. They believe Jesus was around. They do not deny that. But in not believing who Jesus fully is, they are in fact denying God himself. The other day I was in Umzinto and I was talking with a Muslim businessman. And we got talking. I don't know how we got onto the subject, but we ended up talking about Islam and his faith and so on. And one of his first comments to me was, well, actually, we serve the same God. We have the same roots in Moses, in Abraham. In fact, we even follow the same Ten Commandments that you Christians follow. But they do not accept Jesus, for they believe that his death was faked and that he didn't really die for us. Friends, according to what John is saying here, Islam and Christianity do not serve the same God. For as John says, if we deny Jesus, we deny God. And likewise with all other religions in the world, if they deny and refuse to turn to Jesus and trust him and follow him, then they are not worshipping the same God that we are. And so, friends, can I challenge you perhaps also, as we watch TV and as we listen to preachers on TV, whichever channel it might be on, if someone comes onto TV and starts talking about that we need to do this or that in order to be a true Christian over and above following Jesus, that if we don't have to worry about following Jesus, we've just got to be good, then friends, they are not serving the same God that we are. So how do we identify the many voices of the world? How do we know what are true and what are false? Well, simply, it's by looking to see if they accept and teach about Jesus. So, we've looked at how we identify many of the voices within the world. Well, secondly, this morning, how do we then counter the many voices in the world? How do we stand up against them? How do we make sure that we ourselves don't get sucked into those falsehoods? Because there's so many voices out there, so many just different religions. But how do we know who and how do we counter these voices? How do we ensure, as John says in verse 25, that we receive eternal life? You see, just knowing that there are false teachers out there, that there are antichrists out there, is not enough. We actually need to know what we believe so that we can spot them and not get caught up with them. So I think there's three elements here this morning concerning how we can counter the voices in the world. The first element this morning is know the truth. If we are true Christians, as John says here, then we have the anointing from God, from the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. This anointing is something that was done to the kings and the priests. If you read your Old Testament, you will often come across the idea that the priest anointed the new king. You remember with the story of David, where Samuel anointed King David. Even when priests were put into their office, they were anointed. And it was a sign that God had received them with grace and with power, and gave them power to do the task that they were being set aside to do. In the same vein, as Christians, we have been anointed by God. In other words, we have received God's grace and power to live for Him, to do what He wants us to do, and to carry on in our lives. And it's through this anointing that, as John says in verse 27, is real and not counterfeit, that we are taught the truth. You see, as John goes on and he says, we know the truth, verse 27, and we know that no lie comes from the truth. That means that if we hear some new teaching or some speculative theory on the Bible, what do we need to do? Fall back on what we've known from the beginning. Is that what the Bible is saying? The Bible says God has said everything that He needs to say to us now. So if someone comes with a new message, I need to question that. Is that new message what the Bible is saying? Are they adding to the Bible? Are they trying to say that we need to accept their message as well as the Bible's message? You see, John's saying, we know the truth, and no lie comes from the truth. So partly we need to know the truth, partly we need to make sure that we hear the truth. And that's why John says back in verse 19, that if you are a true Christian, you will not stop meeting with other true Christians. Verse 19, if they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. You see, friends, being a Christian is really hard sometimes. You all know that. I know that. But the problem is, the moment life gets tough and difficult, what do? We stop meeting with other Christians. Oh, I'm tired. I need to catch up with sleep. Oh, I've just had a hectic week. I just need a quiet day. Oh, you know, I've just been hounded by people at work because I'm a Christian. I'm just going to skip church once today. John says, if you were really a true Christian, you would not give up meeting with other Christians. And of course, as we meet with other Christians, not only are we encouraged to continue living the Christian life, but we are more likely, or we will hear then, the true Christian message. And we will not fall prey to the teachings of the antichrists. You see, when times get hard, don't stay away from Christians. Actually, come and spend more time with Christians. If we belong to Christ, then we belong to His people. And when we are pounded from all sides by different teachings, when things look better on the other side, what do we need to do? Keep on meeting with other Christians. So not only should we know the truth and be encouraged and meet so that we can know the truth. But secondly, we need to remain in the truth. Verse 24. And in fact, from verse 24 to verse 28, see how many times the word remain comes up or continue. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. The ultimate reward for remaining in the truth is that we will be with the Father, as John says in verse 25, and this is what he promised us, even eternal life. Look at verse 28. Continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Do you see all the remains in that verse, in those verses? The continues? Don't give up. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. In other words, do not forget the truth that you know. I suppose it's perhaps a little bit like writing an exam and learning for an exam. Many of us have had to do that in the past, and some I know, Eddie's actually preparing for an exam at the moment. And there's a number of different ways that we can study. Some people like the parrot fashion idea, you know, read through everything, learn it all off by heart, and when they ask you a question, you say, oh, that's that paragraph, and you basically regurgitate that paragraph and slap it on the exam page. Normally you do pretty well, and you can get 80, 90, 95% for an exam by regurgitating the information. The problem, though, with parrot fashion is that 2 weeks down the line, you can't remember a thing. You've forgotten it all. And someone asks you a question, you've got 95% for your exam, they ask you a question and you're going, was that geography? No, wait, I don't remember that. Of course, the other option, which takes a lot more work, but is a way better option, is as you work through the material, you try to grasp and understand every fact that has been said. You process it in your mind. You work through it in practical applications. And so that when the teacher asks you a question, you are able to, in your own words, explain what that's about because you've understood the fact. And because you've processed it, because you've gone through it in your mind and spent ages trying to understand it, it retains in your mind for so much longer. And I think the same is true when it comes to the Bible. We often just think, oh, well, cool, I know this passage, put it aside and forget about it. And when someone asks you a question, yes, yes, and you can just rattle off a little passage that you've learned off by heart. But John is saying, no, remain in me, make sure that you do not forget the truths. In other words, grapple with God's word. Spend time in it, reading it, studying it. We do offer, we've got a correspondence course that we as a church are offering through our Bible college. It's a great way to study God's Word and to remain in it so that when we go through difficult times, when we hear those hundreds of voices in our world today, we keep focused on the true message of Christ. And I think there's a third element as well. Not only are we to know the truth, not only are we to remain in the truth, but thirdly, we are to live in the truth. John has been urging us right through this letter so far that as Christians we have to live lives that are acceptable to God. If you were in our Bible study on Wednesday, you will know that we've been working through 1 Thessalonians, and we got to chapter 4 this week, where we learned that we obey God because it makes him glad. And so John tells us here that those who are truly part of God's family, those who follow Jesus, do not deny him in any form, and they will do what is right. Look with me at verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, that is God is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. In other words, John is saying that if you think you call yourselves a Christian and you do not live the Christian life, well then actually, and to use the language of John, you are an antichrist and the truth is not in you. Strong words from John, aren't they? We must make sure that we don't get caught up with the wrong teachings, with the wrong thoughts out there. See, we need to identify the truth in the world from the untruth. How do we do that? Well, by seeing who denies Jesus and who doesn't. And we need, how do we know whether they are denying Jesus or not? Well, if we know the truth, which means we need to remain in the truth, which equates that we living the truth. Now perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I've always thought that all religions lead to God, and I've always thought it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something, then I'll be okay. Well, friends, I hope that you've been able to see what John is saying to us this morning. That unless we follow Jesus, we cannot get to God. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus for yourself. Always just thinking, well, yeah, it's good, it's great, I'll just be good and God will look with me on favor. But I'm not really worried about him. Well, friends, I hope you too can see what John has been telling us, that without Jesus we cannot get to God and therefore we will not have eternal life. In a moment I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask for God's help for those of us who are Christians to know the truth, to remain in the truth and to live the truth. But for those of you who are perhaps still grappling with this whole issue, I'm going to pray and ask God to reveal more of his word to you so that you might also know the truth. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the truths that you have shown us today, Lord, that those that deny Jesus do not get to be with God the Father. Lord, we ask and pray that you would forgive us for those times that we do deny you, that we do try to do things in our own ways. Lord, we also ask and pray for your help and strength, that you would help us to know the truth from the lie, that you would give us discernment so that we might know who are the antichrists and who are speaking the truth. Lord, we pray that you would help us to remain in you, not to give up meeting with others, not to give up reading your word and studying your word so that we might know the truth. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to live the truth as well, and not to be seen as doing one thing, but saying another. Lord, we also just pray for those here this morning, Lord, who've never really considered the fact that they have to know you as their personal Savior. And we pray, Lord, that you would just reveal yourself to them and work in their lives so that they might turn to you and accept you as their Lord and Savior. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask these things in your name. Amen.